This is the Supernaturally Paid podcast, where all faith-based entrepreneurs come to get everything that they need about how to thrive in business, how to not worry about money, and how to trust God more than they trust their bank account. I am your host, Raven Hoquette. Let's get into the episode. Alrighty, you guys. So we are back. I am so excited. We're here. We are back with another edition of the God Pays Me Virtual Summit. And y'all know, like, all of our guests have been bringing it so hard. Like, oh my goodness, it has been amazing. It's been so many gems dropped. It's been so many just teachable moments. It's been so many relatable scriptures. It's been so many relatable testimonies about just the journey of trusting God with your finances and just the journey of really believing God to provide more, especially at a time where everybody wants to sell you fear. You know, you have a lot of entrepreneurs that want to sell you on fear so that you can sign up for their coaching program. You have a lot of financial experts that want to sell you on fear so that you can hire them to tell you what you should do with your finances during this time. You turn on the TV, you get on social media, and it's literally just everywhere. Everybody's talking about the economy, the housing market, the stock market, and people are losing jobs and blah, blah, blah. You have so many people talking about what's going on in the economy, but you have very little people talking about what is going on with God keeping his promises, okay? And so the God Pays Me Virtual Summit, that's where we want to reel everyone back into. We want to use this conference as a reminder that God is still in control financially. God still has the last say financially. God still is Jehovah Jireh. He still can provide. He's still holding us up with his right hand. He still sees our every need even before we ask it of him. So I'm just so excited. It's been encouraging even for me to have such distinguished guests here to just talk about their journey. And everybody that's here is a woman of God. And just, you know, to hear the transparency in everyone's story has just been so motivational for me as far as like what God continues to do in my life as well. So I am going to pass the mic over to our next guest. I am sure that many of you have heard of her. Many of y'all are connected with her on social media. I have the pleasure of being connected with her through Blessed and Bossed Up, which is hosted by Tatum, who was another one of our guests on here. Also being connected with her through Increase 365, doing business with her within the last year through the Bundle Bestie. It's just been so awesome to just watch what God is doing in your life and your business. So help me welcome y'all, my sis, Kavaya. How are you today?
Hi, I'm doing really, really good. Thank you. That was just a reminder of like literally everything that yes. I forgot about.
The whole thing.
Right. But I'm good. Thank you for having me.
No problem. I'm so excited to have you here because I know like I have not been around you in person that much, but I feel like the time that I was around you, I was very blessed just by the transparency of your testimony. And, you know, a lot of times, especially I feel like in the society that, you know, the world is in, where you kind of just post your highlight reel. Oh, let me just get on Instagram when everything is going great. And let me just talk about, you know, God's blessings and what he's doing with this. But it's very rare that you have people that are willing to open up about the trials and tribulations of their journey. So we're definitely going to go there in this conversation, but I also want to just run it back really quickly and just have you talk to them about how you got started with entrepreneurship. Like, what do you feel led you there? And just talk a little bit about your assignment. Like, what is it that God has you doing in business?
Yes, absolutely. So, okay. If I can go like way, way, way back, I feel like I got my first, you know, I guess, real realization of entrepreneurship, like way back in middle school, because I was selling candy in middle school. My parents was like, you gotta make some money, what you gonna do? And so I feel like that was kind of my first introduction to that. Like, oh, I'm making money every day, $50 selling candy in middle school. But if I could fast forward to like some of my adulthood, well, prior to me quitting my job, you know, I had a blog. At that time, it was called Call for a Cause. And that really came through me like seeking God about my purpose, right? I grew up in church and I knew that, you know, you hear all the time, God created you, you know, in your mother's womb, he knew you. And I became very curious about that. Like, what am I here for? Personally, I couldn't do hair, I couldn't do nails, I couldn't sing and dance and things that I've seen my peers and my friends doing. So I really went on this discovery journey and I found that one of my gifts were my words, and my words were very therapeutic through my writing. And so I started a blog, which then turned into an app. I still have my app. It's the She Who Is Called mobile app, which today over 80,000 people have downloaded. And that's just such a blessing and literally all glory to God. So I really, you know, my writing, and then it turned into a book. I have a book called The Makings of a Godly Woman, which is on Amazon. And so around the time that I was writing my book, I was working for AAA in a call center and I hated it. I was like, I can't be on nobody's phone. Like, this is not me. And so, but I had to do what I had to do during that time. So, you know, I really was praying about like my release from that job. And I tell people all the time, I don't have the story where I saved up X amount of dollars and quit my job. That just wasn't my experience. And I think that, you know, it's great to save and be able to leave comfortably, but that just wasn't my story. And I embraced that. So literally one day I pulled up to work and I feel like I was having an anxiety attack. And I was talking to God about it and He gave me confirmation in that moment that I didn't have to go. He said something very specific to me and I never went back. I just never went back. And I just remember that day so clearly. And so from there, I had came out with my book and the book did really, really well. And then since then, like, I really haven't looked back. Yeah. So I did the book and then doors opened up. You know, me and Tatum we did the society together, which is still going. I had joined your program and made my first four figures from a digital product through that. So yeah, that's really how I got started. I followed the gift of writing and seeing how that could, you know, lead to multiple streams of income.
Yes. I love how you were so transparent about the money piece because back when I was in coaching, where I was working with people who were at jobs and trying to make that transition into full-time entrepreneurship, that used to be the biggest question. Well, how much do I need to save? Or how long do you think it's going to take me to save this? And I remember trying to tell people, and it would be so funny, like coming out of my mouth trying to tell them, because I was that person that when I was still in my 9-to-5, I was the same way. Like, okay, if I could just save and, you know, get this together. And so I actually did have a lot of savings when I had walked out of my 9-to-5. But I learned very quickly, if you don't know how to replace your income and bring that money in from your business, you're going to basically burn through those savings very quickly. And so that's what ended up happening. And here I was in this space, not having any money, not having a job, having this business that literally is just something that I'm saying, because if you look at my bank account, it don't seem like I have a business. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking around and I'm like, okay, God, what's up? You know, like, how are we going to do this? It's like, I try to tell people, entrepreneurship, especially when you're self-employed, it is such a faith journey. Like, if you were not close to God like that before, it's no way that you could become self-employed and not get even closer, because you literally have to rely on him for every single thing that you need. And I remember, as much as it was like a little bit of a discomfort when I had burned through that money, I felt such a peace, because it was like, okay, now whatever comes in and whatever opportunities are coming my way, God, I know that you're going to do this for me, because literally nothing else that I can do for myself. So I want to just kind of segue a little bit into more about the financial piece and like a time that literally your back was up against the wall and you had nothing else, like no other choice but to be like, okay, God, like I'm trusting that you got this. I'm trusting that your hand is all over this, and he came through for you.
Absolutely. And that what you said is so real. Child, I say all the time, okay, if I could be transparent all the time, but if I could think of something that truly, truly blew my mind, you know, entrepreneurship, it is the biggest faith journey, like you said, and it is a look in the mirror of like, dang, do I have the faith that I really speak, you know, and tell people to do? It has been the most challenging thing, but yet the most rewarding. And I remember, like, I just didn't know. Like, I just didn't know what was going to happen. And during a downtime, like, I had ran up credit cards. And unfortunately, you know, my parents didn't really teach me about money. They didn't teach me about credit. And so I had ran up these credit cards and I did not like that. Like, I was like, all right, how are we about to pay this off? Like, you know, you got people calling you. Like, I'm just going to be transparent. You got people calling you, you know, that affects your credit. And I was like, I want to get this right. Like, I want to turn this around, and God, I need you to help me. And I literally, you know, when the mail would come, I would write scriptures over those bills and I would write on it, paid in full, zero balance. Makes me emotional thinking about it. And literally, don't y'all know that like somebody contacted me one day and was like, what do you need to get out of your debt? And they sent me, I told them, and they sent me the money, and all those credit cards were paid off from somebody else. And so that was just so mind-blowing for me. That's the biggest thing that I can think of. But there's been even the little things, like even the little things of just like needing something paid, or like, God, just I need your help. Like, there were so many times and people would just sew into me randomly, or an opportunity would just come, or I would get a client really when I needed it. And the part trusting God with my finances, I feel like, has been a really difficult thing for me. And one day I was actually having a conversation with Tatum, and she was like, you know, are you just making it, or is God really providing for you? And I had to really change my mindset about that. Like, yeah, it feels like I'm just making it, but God is providing nonetheless through that. So I know like it can be difficult, but when you like surrender, even the word surrender has been hitting me lately just so different. When you truly surrender and what that means, like if you think about a war going on and when you have to surrender to the opposing, the enemy or whatever, like you have to drop your weapon, you have to drop what you're using to protect yourself. And I think a lot of the times, like when it comes to money, people have this huge guard up. You think you have to protect yourself because you don't want to be without, but you can't do that and trust God. Like, so you have to get to a place where you surrender, like truly surrender. And that may be for some people a daily thing. Like, so really assess how you view finances. And a big thing for me when it came to that was worry. I worried so much. And I ended up being like, God, like, I'm tired of this up and down. Like, I know you have not called us to worry. Your word says, do not worry. Like, you take care of the birds in the sky, Matthew 6. And so I had to really choose and figure out how to change that. And a lot of it goes into mindset. And I'm very passionate about that now because I know how it felt to just feel so worried. So even till this day, I feel like I see God move literally and provide literally all the time.
Oh my goodness. I have chills just hearing about the person who literally contacted you and said, how much is it? What do you need? And literally came through with it, because, you know, that's nothing but God. And I think that it's so easy sometimes, like as entrepreneurs, because, you know, as entrepreneurs, like we're naturally problem solvers. We put out fires in our business often. You know, we're helping a client with this or we're doing that, and we're resourceful. Like these are things that really like come just second nature, you know, as an entrepreneur. And so naturally, when you have a problem, you want to fix it. If it's a financial problem, you think, well, what else can I offer? Can I do this? How can I market? What can I change in my sales strategy? It's like the immediate response is, yeah, what can I do to fix this? And I think for me, it was so powerful when you started talking about that worry piece, because I mean, even on this, you know, I've been very transparent about how when I was pregnant with my son, worry was like my middle name. And it was just like, you know, it was easy for me to worry at that time because I'm literally seeing my belly just growing every day as a reminder that this baby is coming soon. The baby needs this. The baby needs that. This is that. You know, it was a constant for me. But when I finally took the I out of it and got out of a place of trying to be like, oh, I'm resourceful and I know how to do this, when I really just started to get in that childlike state, because that's mm-hmm. one of the things about being a child. Like, when you're a child and you want something, you ask your parents and you don't even think about them not having it. You don't ever ask them how much is in their bank account and do they have this and do they have that. And so I had to like just adapt that again with God. Like, God has endless resources. God has ways to make a way that I don't even know about, that I don't even see, that I can't even fathom. Like, imagine somebody calling you when you're praying and you're desperately in need and simply asking you, how much do you need? And I want this to be a lesson for those of y'all listening to this right now that are in debt, because it's a lot of people who are in debt and you don't know what the exact amount is. And something that I tell people all the time is always know that number, because you never know if God is going to use somebody to ask you what you need, how much do I need to write a check for to sow into you. So be ready, be prepared with that number as if you're just expecting God to come through it in some kind of way. Like, I mean, I'd be amazed sometimes when I think back to stories that I needed something and God came through with that exact amount or a little bit over, or, you know, something like that, where you just know, like, this is a God thing. I can remember being in my very first apartment, and I remember the whole even testimony to getting that apartment was God, because I felt like, God, my bank account is overdrawn. I don't even know, like, huh? I'm like, my bank account is overdrawn. My credit is not the best because, you know, I've left my job without really having like this like real practical plan. So I've gotten behind on my bills. And I remember God said, that's the one, like, that's the apartment. Like, this is where I want you. And so going into that apartment, first of all, going in to apply to get the apartment, I remember this was the summer of 2012. So 10 years ago, I was like just so in like not the greatest place financially at that time that I remember the application was $35. I did not even have $35, y'all. I had to call my mother and say, Ma, I need $35. I didn't even want to tell her what I needed it for, because I'm like, she gonna be looking at me like, girl, what? Like, you, how you gonna get an apartment and you don't even have $35? So I remember driving over to the apartment and giving them, you know, the $35 to pay for the application fee, but still filling out the application and not knowing if I was going to get approved, because I knew, you know, what my credit score was at that time. And so I remember being in a little room, filling out the application, and I just kept saying, God, I really feel like this is you. I just want you to know that if you make this work for me, like if you get me approved and show me, you know, with this approval that it's you, I'm going to listen even if it doesn't make any sense. So a couple minutes later, the leasing agent comes out and lets me know, hey, you know, you've been approved. And this was around like July 15th of 2012. And I remember she said, the furthest out that we can hold this apartment and do, you know, your move-in date or whatever, I think was like October 1st. So I'm like, okay, you know, that's fine. October 1st, I'll have the money. Mind y'all, August comes around, still don't have the money. September comes around, still don't have the money. September 15th gets around. Now it's 2 weeks until move-in day, still don't have the money. But do y'all know what I started doing? Going online, picking out furniture. Going online, setting up the furniture to be delivered on October 1st, October 2nd. I did not see this money in my bank account, but God getting me approved was just enough that this was him. God telling me to go to this apartment, making a way for me to fill out this application, that was enough for me to know, I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know who, I don't know where this money is coming from, but I know that God is going to provide for me. At that time, I think my rent, this was years ago, so you know, rent was just like crazy dirt cheap everywhere. I think my rent at that time for my one bedroom apartment probably was going to cost me like $800, a little bit over like $800 a month or something. Do y'all know that September the 28th, God came through on this money? 2 days before I was set to move in, because y'all know it's only 30 days in September. That's a faith walk. That's literally believing. That's packing your bags, knowing that this could all go up and blow up in my face, but I'm trusting you, God, that you got me. I'm believing you, God, that you got me. I'm comforted, God, in the fact that you got me. And the whole time that I was at that apartment, there were never any hiccups. Even if it was times that it was a couple days until the rent was due and I'm like, I don't have it. I don't know where this is going to come from. God always made a way. It is so critical that when we get in those situations, we don't focus on the present circumstances, but we just fix our eyes on God's promise, because he doesn't lie. He always comes through. And I think one of the most powerful things that y'all could take away from this conference is you see the similarities in these testimonies. This is not a coincidence. This is God showing you he didn't did this for Kavaya. He's done it for me. He's done it for Tatum. He's done it for Tiffany. He's done it for Makita. He's done it for Candace. He's done it for all these different people that you're hearing from on this conference. So I want to pivot a little bit, Kavaya, and just start to speak to people who right now, maybe they are in that situation. Maybe they are the Kavaya that has all this credit card debt from years ago. Maybe they're the Raven that's believing that God is going to make a way for the rent and the security deposit and all of this stuff for the apartment. What would you say to somebody right now that's in a trying financial situation and just feels like there is just no way out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so good. I think that I would encourage people to get to the root of the worry and the fear. I think that is huge, because if I could just be transparent again, I remember reflecting, because I was trying to get to the root of it. Like, God, why don't I trust you? Why am I fearful? Why am I worried about money and not having enough of it? And when I thought back to just my life and experiences, I was brought back. He brought me back to when I was in high school. You know, we lived in a nice house. We had 5 bedrooms, basketball court, pool. But one day, you know, my parents had a bad split and my dad kicked us out. And the next day I knew we were in a shelter with another family living. We're all in one room. And so he showed me that I have a fear of losing it because of what happened in the past. And so I think sometimes it's important for us to go back to maybe some experiences that we've had before to figure out what is the root of this distrust. Maybe people have wronged you in the past. Maybe you just are not confident enough in yourself, but really get to the root and go back to figure out if there's some things you really need to lay before God and ask him to heal you from those things. But get to the root of the fear and the worry is so important, because you don't want to get the money and then, you know, once he puts you to the mountaintop, you don't know how to stay there because you're fearful or you're still dealing with things of your past. So it's very important to go back and deal with those things. It's very important to figure out if you've made money an idol. It's very important to even understand that God's timing is immaculate. Like, go in, and if you're dealing with worry, if you're dealing with the fear when it comes to finances, please read Matthew 6. Like, it talks about worrying and who of you by worrying can even add a single hour to his life. So I just encourage you guys to go back to maybe some things and figure out what is the root of this. Why don't I trust God with this? And I just want to let you know, God can do more than you can. Okay. He can do more than the pennies that you pinch in. Like, don't try to figure it out on your own. It doesn't work that way. It never works really that way. So just open up, you know, open your hand. Ask God to make you a cheerful giver, right? Open your hands and just even try sowing seeds over your life. Even if you feel like you don't have it, you don't know what's being produced and how that seed is going to grow and just flourish. So I'm thankful for this opportunity to talk about that. And another one is Deuteronomy 8:18, right? God gives us the power to create wealth. So I really think that's what I would say, because this is really important. Like, it's so important when it comes to entrepreneurship and money, getting to the root and figuring out like, okay, why? I don't want to move like this. You know what I mean? Like we talk about how like, oh, she moving different. You know what I mean? Ask yourself, how can I move different? How can I start moving different and start trusting God with this? How can I move different and stop being fearful and worrying? Like, get real with it. So I think that's what I would say. Yeah.
Ooh, I just was like so hyped the whole time that you were speaking and just talking about getting to the root of it. Because I think that some of us, we have seen this side of ourselves where you're worried and you're frustrated and you're stressed about money. And you think, well, maybe I just got like this in the pandemic. Maybe I just got like this when, you know, that situation happened to me in college. And we don't realize that honestly, for most of us, it really dates back to childhood. For me, that was such a powerful moment in my life. And I've talked about this on the Supernaturally Paid podcast. It was powerful when I really asked God to help me get to the root of it, because I didn't understand where this was coming from. I'm like, you know, I know I grew up and, you know, didn't necessarily grow up in this house that was like, I had a silver spoon and we just had all of this endless money. But even still, like, why is it so bad? Because for me, like, it would get to the point that it would cripple me, like not wanting to get up out of the bed and do anything and just being so stressed that I'm just crying all day, like almost to the point of like just never ending sadness because this money situation was going on. And it felt like I couldn't pull myself out of it. But one of the first things that I needed to realize was that it wasn't me who was supposed to pull me out of that. It was God that was supposed to pull me out of that. So that's one. I think so many of us are thinking, I can't pull myself out of this. And you don't understand. God never asked you to. He said to trust him. You know, the scripture says, seek the kingdom first and everything else will be added to you. The scripture also talks about how there are literally things that we just cannot do on our own. That's why in Philippians, it tells us that we have the strength through Christ who strengthens us, because some battles you're just not meant to fight on your own. That's just the way that it is. But I also know and understand that it's very hard to fight a battle, to win a battle, and you don't know who your opponent is. So if you don't know where this spirit of poverty has come from, if you don't know where this spirit of lack has come from, how are you going to call this out in prayer? How are you going to cast this out? How are you going to bind this up? How are you going to get this spirit off of you? And you don't even know when that spirit came on you. I know for me, pulling up to a house at 6 years old and seeing all my stuff outside because we were being evicted, it took me until I was a grown woman to realize that that was something that planted the spirit of poverty in me. I had no idea. You know, the quote unquote spirit of poverty was never even something that I knew as a term growing up. So we have to recognize that the spirit of poverty is very real and it's on a lot of people and it's holding us back from really stepping into everything that God has for us because we're allowing it to be so prevalent. So I want to ask you, Kavaya, because everybody that's listening pretty much knows that the scripture that we've been standing on for this virtual summit is Psalms 37:19, that even in the midst of a famine, God can still provide in abundance. I want to talk to you just about what scripture people can stand on during this time and beyond, specifically as it pertains to just trusting God with their finances.
Yeah. One of my favorites is, and it's simple, Psalms 46:10 is, be still and know that I am God. Yes. Like, and to really think about what it means to know. When you know something, it's like right off the back of your hand, right? Like when you know that he is God, right? So, and to know something, that's going to come with some action. That's going to come with you putting down some things. So I think that's one that I would really encourage people to stand on, is to be still, know that I am God, Psalms 46:10.
Now, it might seem simple, but I feel like that is so needed for entrepreneurs because, like I said earlier, we just think like, let me figure this out. Let me go do it. You know, we're such self-starters that sometimes it can be challenging to keep still. So I just want to piggyback off of that a little bit because That's such a powerful verse. Somebody actually bought me a mug that has that scripture on it. And every time I'm like drinking my little cup of tea out of it, I'm like, yep, yep, girl, you better be still. You better relax. Like, you better know. And for me, something that really helps me to keep still is making fasting really be a part of my lifestyle, and not just when I need something or when I'm believing God for something, but really making that be something that I actually do on a consistent basis, because it requires me to keep still. I need to keep still. I need to hear from God. I need to hear from God to get strategy and instruction. Like, it forces me to humble myself and say, no matter how resourceful I think that I am, no matter how much business acumen that I have and all of these other things, there are so many things that I don't know. I also want to just leave y'all with another scripture, which is one of my favorites as well, Jeremiah 33:3. This is what I'm standing on, because in that scripture, it talks about how if we come to God, he'll literally tell us unsearchable things that we don't know. And something that God has been speaking to me about, and y'all know that I've been sharing this prophetic word probably since like July. But God said that there is going to be people that in the midst of this quote unquote famine and recession that's going on, there are going to be people who really get an unprecedented amount of income. That was literally his exact words. Like, they're going to make an unprecedented amount of income, but these are also people who are going to be doing unprecedented things. And you want to know what those things are. You know, some of us are the right entrepreneurs, but we're in the wrong business, or we're making the wrong offers. We're offering the wrong service, or whatever the case may be. So go into God based on Jeremiah 33:3, so he can tell you those unsearchable things. It's powerful, because every business that I've ever started, it's never been with strategy that's looked like somebody else's. When I started helping people leave their 9-to-5, there was nobody out there that was doing that. When I started my handbag company, there were people out there that have handbag lines, sure, but there was nobody that was adding a faith-based element to it. These are all things that I got in spending time with God and being still and listening to him and trusting his strategy, trusting that he knows things that I can't find on Google, I can't find on YouTube, I can't find in being in somebody's coaching program or, you know, anything like that. So believe that in that time of keeping still, that God is going to honor you. Because we talk a lot about sowing seeds financially and tithing and giving and all of that stuff, which is great. You definitely need to do it. But we also need to talk about how being still is sowing a seed. We need to talk about how being still and spending that time with God and sowing that seed of time is something that's so powerful and something that he definitely needs from us as well. So I hope that y'all got a lot out of this session. I know that y'all did. I know it was so many gems, Kavaya, that you dropped. I just want to ask you, is it anything that you want to leave them with before we get out of here?
I think I said it all. I would just say, like, don't, because I think that a lot of times too, when things are rough, we steer away from the very things that we need, like prayer. And I've just in my own time been feeling like this is really a time where people need to have that uninterrupted, that extended prayer time. So I just encourage you to, if you haven't, get back to that place. And if you are, that's great. But through all things, the Bible says, like, pray without ceasing. So just to keep being present, keep showing up, even if you feel like you're not hearing, just show up for the time and keep praying. So
yes, I love it. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to just bless us with this message and your testimony. I am so excited about what God is going to continue to do in your life and your business, and I'm just so grateful to witness it. It was so funny the other day, somebody that came to the very first Prosper conference, she sent me a message on Instagram talking about something that she might have actually announced it today, and maybe I missed it. But she's talking about something that she was going to be announcing soon. And she was just saying how, like, you know, we prayed for this. And I was just so excited, like, oh my goodness, like, look at God just like publicly answering prayers that have been prayed in private. And I'm just truly believing that for you, because I know that you're a praying woman. I know that, you know, you've attended a Prosper conference before and we've prayed over you. You're a part of Increase 365. You know, we be praying up in there. So I'm just excited to just witness everything that God has lined up for you and just every blessing with your name on it, to just watch it find you. And we're just excited. I just want to let y'all know so y'all could be watching too. Make sure that y'all click on the link below so that y'all could stay connected to Kavaya. She has an amazing, amazing, amazing community that she leads. So make sure that y'all connect with her and see how y'all are able to join and access that. Also, if you want access to this interview and all of the other interviews, along with some of the bonuses, make sure that you click on the link below to join us as a VIP guest. And I look forward to seeing y'all in the next edition of the God Pays Me Virtual Summit. It has truly been a blessing and honor to have you here for this segment. I am so grateful that y'all have listened to another episode of the Supernaturally Paid podcast. Now, y'all know I love when y'all leave me a 5-star review and also share some of your feedback from the podcast episode. So make sure that you do that. Make sure that you hit that subscribe button and make sure that you share the Supernaturally Paid podcast with a friend.